Hey, everybody, it's George Whittam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Dan Leonard.
And we are VoiceOver.
B.O. B.S. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm showered. I'm sorry.
We're shooting the rehearsal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's just rehearsal. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But anyway, we are here to have a great show tonight where we get to interview Rick Wasserman, who's in studio with us tonight. And
I saw him with his shirt off.
Well, you're very lucky.
But that's not what we're talking about.
But I did too.
We're talking about VoiceOver. Sorry.
Yeah, we're going to be talking everything VoiceOver. We've got two seasoned veterans of the VoiceOver business here in the studio with us tonight. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So stand by and hang on to your hats. We'll be right back right after this.
And your must.
George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in VoiceOver today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years of experience in broadcasting and recording, and the myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, superstars of VoiceOver today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your VoiceOver business, this is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, your source for Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now. VO2GoGo.com and Rehearsal App. VoiceOver Extra, your one stop for VoiceOver resources. Edge Studio, find your voice. And Visi Demos, your audio demo never looked so good.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
We're here, yay! This is George Whittam.
And I'm Dan Leonard.
And this is VoiceOver Body Shop. And tonight it's a lot of VOBS. Actually, we have Lori Allen here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for being able
to fill in for us tonight.
I know. I wax. I wanted to really have like a good homage to his mustache, to Dan's mustache. But I shaved. I got rid of it. So I hope you forgive me, Dan.
Oh, well.
But thanks for having me.
It was filling in so nicely, too.
Right? I know. It was really something. But, you know, I did what I had to do.
So. Well, it was really nice for you to join us. Dan is flying right now. Literally, he tried to join us on Zoom from the airplane, but the connection was too bad. We couldn't get him in.
He was like still life, and we caught him in a still, and he was like this.
Exactly.
Like just very solemn and somber, like, wah, wah.
He is so bummed that he is not here right now. Trust me.
We should just trash the place and be like, yeah, party!
Oh, yeah. Actually,
just like throw stuff through the window, like,
tell?
Yeah.
How could you tell anyway? No. The place looks good. We got it cleaned up for you guys.
Looks great.
But it's going to be a fun show tonight. But before we go much further, I need to read the news because we do it every night. Normally, Dan does it. It's my turn. So here we go with the news.
Now, the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive VoiceOver industry news, brought to you live.
You need to give me a cue. All right, this is the VoiceOver News, the VoiceOver Extra News, actually sponsored by VoiceOver Extra, and this is about being more productive. What's frustration number one for a freelance voice actor? It's being busy without being productive. Voice actor Paul Strickwerda confesses that's a trap he's fallen into over the course of his 26 years in this business. It's a night of seasoned veterans around here. I was working all day long, but without much to show for it, Paul says. Fortunately for us, Paul realizes how to get back on track to more productivity. And he shares this in a new article on VoiceOver Extra. Paul says something finally dawned upon him. Busy people talk about how little time they have, but productive people make time for what is important. The question is, how do you know what is important for your business? On some days, everything seems important. Answering emails, invoicing clients, making phone calls, updating the website, recording auditions, paying bills, designing marketing materials, researching new gear, keeping up with social media. The list is endless, especially when you're a one-person band. In the article, Paul lists how he's become more productive. One, don't try to do it all. Instead, focus on what you're good at. Outsource the rest. For instance, if you're not a kick-ass web designer, hire someone who is and have him or her teach you to maintain and update the site once it's up and running.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, that's very important. Do you have time to become an SEO specialist? You probably should find someone who is. If you stink at bookkeeping, get an office assistant to take care of the numbers and let an accountant prepare your taxes. This also ensures you that that you maximize your deductions and you minimize the money going to the IRS. If you're recording a massive project, such as an audiobook, on a tight deadline, pay someone to edit and master the audio for you. Please do this. I can't emphasize
delegate,
enough
how important delegate, this delegate. Is.
Why spend time on a $60 to $100 per hour job if you could make between $350 and $500 per hour? In other words, if you can be making a lot more as a voice actor, be voice acting, not editing. It's mm-hmm. really important. Paul also says that if you're thinking about how much all of this will cost, you're looking at it the wrong way. Reinventing the wheel, learning on the fly, trying to do everything yourself, it will leave you frustrated without energy to do what you do best. The very things clients hire you to do. And that is going to cost you. The article mentions three more productivity enhancers. Be selective in what you audition for. Be selective in the lines you record in auditions. And learn to say the word no. Check out the details now at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. All right.
Very nice.
That was my first time reading the news
ever. Very nice. I think I give you woohoo.
Thank you very much. Thank
Maybe
you.
Rick Wasserman should do your demo reel. Right?
This is a ploy.
Very nice.
I wanted to do this show without Dan just so I'd have a chance to prove my prowess reading the news.
Very nice, George. Very good.
No.
A plus.
Thank you.
A plus.
Before we go on, because our second, the second after the first break, we get to really get into the fun stuff. But mm-hmm. we do have a video package for all of us that have been listening to me go on and on about the Sound Devices Mix Pre, a piece of gear I was really excited about. I actually did go see it at NAB. I actually shot a video, or Dan shot the video, and yeah. I'm on camera.
Very
we
nice.
Got an interview, and let's go take a look. And after that, we'll be right back on VOBS with Lori Allen.
Woohoo, Dan Leonard. Just keeps getting it confused.
Nice. Awesome. Hey everybody, this is George Whittam reporting for Whittam's World here at NAMM Show 2017. We drove all the way from Los Angeles pretty much to see one thing. And that's this really innovative device from Sound Devices called the Mix Pre. There's the Mix Pre 3 and the Mix Pre 6. And here to share a little bit about it. This is not just any spokesmodel for Sound Devices. This is the guy that designed this thing. This is Paul. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm good, George. Thanks for chatting with me. And I do would like to say that I'm not the only one that made this, right? It's a big team effort.
You didn't make that in your basement?
I hand-knitted one last night, you know. Now, these are a big team effort. I'm one of the key designers. I'm responsible for the user interface, but obviously there's a massive hardware, firmware, mechanical engineering design team, and then all the infrastructure that supports that. So, yeah, thanks for inviting me and be able to talk about these.
Well, the reason that I was excited about this for a few reasons, I love Sound Devices products. I have a history with using them. The 302 mixer, the USB Pre's, I've always loved them. And this thing adds just a lot of functionality. And for voice actors, which is our world, the ability to do a really unique thing, which is record a backup internally while at the same time recording to your software, that's something that's just doesn't exist elsewhere. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Do a little tour of the unit physically, and then we'll talk about
just
that.
Give a little bit of background first, because you guys are obviously interested in high sound quality, right?
Yes, very much.
So Sound Devices is well known in the TV and film industry for producing the highest quality mic preamps and the best build quality. Products that can stand up to the rigors of everyday environments, abuse and what have you. So what we wanted to do is bring that quality level to a wider market, because traditionally our products have been priced up there.
Sure.
So we wanted to bring some products out which could be accessible by a wider market, sub $1,000. And we wanted to appeal to like voiceover artists, videographers, podcasters, musicians, sound designers, sound effects, production sound mixers as well, who want to supplement their kit with a few extra inputs or whatever, but a much wider audience. And we've achieved that. These are solid die-cast aluminum chassis build. I mean, you can literally drive a truck over these. And the mic preamps, there's no compromise on these. They're a brand new design, really low noise floor, minus 130 dB A weighted, you know, 32-bit ADCs with a great dynamic range of 120 dB. You know, it's all discrete component design. There's no off-the-shelf ICs in here. You know, to achieve those figures, you need to go discrete.
That's unusual. Like a lot of the other products, they share a lot of common, you know, IC chips. And so you guys designed this thing from the ground up.
Right. And the other key thing about this, we really wanted to design a tool where the tech didn't get in the way. We wanted it to be really intuitive and not over-cluttering the mind. So you can see from the interface, it's very minimalist. You know, it's just three volume knobs and transport buttons. They're the things you use most often, right? The touch screen allows, this is a touch screen, by the way, I can actually power it on. The touch screen allows us to remove all the less used features and put them in another interface. But they're still all very, very simple to access. So if you're familiar with an iPhone, you're easily going to be able to navigate this product. It's so easy. So this is, as you mentioned just before, this is a multi-channel recorder. It records internally to an SD card. And it's behind the battery pack. So you can see here there's a battery pack, and that resides in the back here. Okay? You can record multi-channel. You can record the individual channels as isolated tracks, but also a mix at the same time. So in this case, this is a three-channel device, so it's a five-track recorder, and it can record up to 96K. This is a six-channel device. There's four XLRs, TRS combos, and then you've got further two line inputs here on unbalanced. So this is a six-input, eight-track recorder that goes up to 192 kHz. So they're the main differences between the two units. So the key here was recording, multi-channel recording, mixing, but also it's a multi-channel USB audio device. And that can actually work simultaneously while still recording to the internal media. And that is a unique feature, and it opens up all sorts of possibilities for backup. You know, you just mentioned this podcast scenario where you're doing a long, not podcast, a voiceover scenario, where you're recording a long take to what have you, and the computer corrupted the file somehow. Knowing it's on here as well is great. Opens up all sorts of other opportunities, like with podcasters who want to bring in voice over IP via their computer, Skype or FaceTime, whatever application you use for that, route that USB source from the computer to a fader, and now you can mix those contributor sources with your own local mic. You can press the channel buttons here to set up each input. You don't have to deep dive into a menu, so it's very fast, very immediate. You don't need a user guide with this thing. Let's talk about some powering aspects of this as well. So this is obviously an anywhere, anytime product. It can be used in a studio, or it can be used out in the field. We have this four-way battery pack, four AAs, nickel metal hydrides that go somewhere between 2 and 3 hours. We also have an eight AA battery pack, which doubles the duration to 5 to 6 hours. And then there's a dual Sony L-mount battery pack, which could power it for up to a week, depending on the size of the batteries you're using.
That's the battery we have on this light over here, I think, actually.
And then on top of that, you have your USB-C. Now, I don't think there's any other device in this category which uses USB-C. This, obviously, is our USB audio interface to a computer, Mac or Windows, but it also powers the device. It's a great companion for the new MacBook Pros. Really nice, because with a USB-C. But it can also be powered from a USB-A port on a computer as well. This automatically detects the power from the power source and will tell you, and allow you to either switch to batteries or allow you to disable certain features. So power this fully with three phantom mics at 10 milliamp per phantom. An old USB 1 source is not going to have enough power. So in that case, it will automatically disable the phantom on one of the channels. Still get two condensers in there, so it's great. Another cool feature of this baby is the built-in Bluetooth. So you can control it from your iPhone. I have an iPhone app. Let's see what we can set that to. Get some signal level going. There you go. So now you can see your meters, and you can, I can swipe that way, have bigger meters. See different meter views. I can record, stop, and then I can even name files from here as well. So it lists me all the files, and then I can select a file and rename it or what have you. Fantastic sounding headphone amp. It really is a wicked out, full range. It's got a really musical sound to it, and it's got a lot of drive.
So my question is, when you need tech support and you call Sound Devices, are you the guy I'm going to talk to?
No. No, we've got a whole team that we have a dedicated tech support team who are active 24/7. We also, you know, always, you can always get a human on the phone. And we have great forums, Facebook pages that people constantly post to. And usually within minutes, people answer on that. You know,
well,
if it's not us, it will be the other users who are using the product. So.
Good point. When can we get it and how much?
Okay, so May the 15th, we're expecting to deliver. Maybe sooner, but May the 15th is what we're saying right now. The Mix Pre 3 is $649, and the Mix Pre 6 is $899.
Man, that's amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to, we're going to get one in to demo in studio and really put it through its paces, so I'm looking forward to that. Really nice to talk to you, Paul. Congrats on the new product. It's really exciting.
Boom. Thanks, George. See you later.
This is George Woodham from NAB 2017 at the Sound Devices booth.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Vizzy Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Vizzy Visual Voice Demo. Visit VizzyDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Vizzy Visual Voice Demos. Mention VoiceOver Body Shop and get an additional 10% off.
Hey everybody, thanks for watching, and we got a little spot here from Source Elements, one of our great sponsors here at VoiceOver Body Shop. Source Elements is a fantastic tool for those that really need to amp up their voiceover business and start playing at a level that means that they have to connect to other studios live. Maybe you've heard the buzzword ISDN. ISDN, it's sticking around for a while, but for now, those that are trying to get it are finding it very expensive to get and very hard to even source in some areas. So Source Connect has been an alternative to ISDN that's been in development now for 10 years. It's been improving steadily every year, and it's the best software they've ever made. Version 3.9 Source Connect Now. Actually, Source Connect Now is available, and that's a free software. And Source Connect 3.9 Standard and Pro are available for those that need to connect to studios who are Source Connect equipped. Chances are, if you're getting into the world of commercials, you're doing things, live directed work, studios are using Source Connect more than ever. You should probably get on board and be ready to connect to those studios and open yourself up to a whole nother level of work. So if you want to get started, go to Source Elements at source-elements.com and you can sign up for a 15-day free trial.
Always say that again. Make sure everyone knows.
Source-elements.com.
Right? There you
go. And you can get signed up right away for a 15-day free trial. And you don't have to have an iLock key to use Source Connect anymore. You can use it without an iLock.
Rick
is very surprised to hear that news, and which is very handy for folks that found the iLock key to be a bit of a frustration. Mm-hmm. So go check it out, and we'll be right back right after this.
VoiceOver Body Shop. Learn the latest in voiceover technology. Learn how to get rid of that. VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on VOBS.us.
Hey, we are back here at VOBS. I wanted to take a chance to introduce you guys to those that don't know Lori Allen. The few
Dan
that
Leonard.
Are watching the show.
Damn it.
I know. She's a great actor, but you can't quite pull off Dan Leonard.
I can't.
No.
Even if I was like, and put the glasses at the very end of my nose.
You have way too much hair. Not happening. Not happening.
We both love dogs. I love Dan. I love Dan. Thank you for having me.
But Lori, so tell us a little about what has been happening in the world of Lori Allen lately. Like, voiceover has been a part of your life for how long now?
Gosh, well, my parents met in theater school. Mm-hmm. It was like they met at camp. They went to theater school. They were theater majors as with radio minors.
Oh.
And so then they both went off into the world of voiceovers, mm-hmm. which was really kind of cool. So I grew up like with my mom doing like booth announcing in the Washington, D.C. area. And
yes,
my dad
booth announcing.
That's right, everybody. Yeah. And then my dad was doing, he started his own advertising agency and he was doing jingles. So I had like artistic, groovy, and still do, parents who still do, you know, advertising stuff. And my dad would stick us in commercials. And so I think my sister and I are like, this is weird, but this is really cool. So I think if I'd come home and said, like, I've always said this to you, right? If I'd come home and said, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer, my parents would have been like, that's ridiculous. That's insane. You need to have a solid backup job like tap dancing
right.
or, you know, or juggling. That would have, you know, I mean, that would have been weird if I had said I wanted a normal job. But they were very supportive. And I started doing commercials. My first commercial.
You're of carny folk.
I'm definitely. I should be like, boop, 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 as we're speaking juggling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I started off doing an Archway cookie spot. Somebody was like, did the little line reading and I got it right away. And then I think the second spot was for my dad. We had to be like excited on Christmas, Hanukkah shopping or something like that. And I think my third commercial one when I was like five was for a pizza, for like Shakey's Pizza. And we found out that that's when I couldn't eat some kind of bread part. And we were all like, doing these crazy faces and stuff like that. And we all like threw up on cue because you didn't have spit buckets back then for commercials. We were like, come on down to Shakey's, Mike, for a change, a little change. Yeah. So then I went to theater school and I got out and I was like, I wonder if I should do voiceovers as like a day job, you know? That would be my day job, right?
Huh.
Until I hit it big, like
you even had the concept that was a possibility of doing voiceover as a day job.
Right. I thought that would be my day job before like I hit it big on like Law and Order because it was like ding ding. That was like the big show that was ding ding going on when I was living in New York. And so then I went home. My dad made me a demo, and I came back, and my dear friend Alice Woodfield, who's one of my great mentors, she tweaked it and made it a little snazzy, too. So between the two of them, I had a great demo. Mm-hmm. And then at the time, I guess they needed that kind of, like, scratchy, like, the kind of voice, whatever that was then, probably from, like, smoking pot in college, which it's not that I did that.
Right. No,
and I was the first voice of Lifetime. So I started off really doing promos, then went into more animation. And then since I was a musical theater major and I did the Groundlings, I was like, I'm going to be a definite shoo-in for animation. And that was so cocky and wrong because you need to be studying.
Yeah.
So when I moved to Los Angeles to do more film and television on camera, I took plenty of classes. I studied and studied and studied and studied. And I took a lot of workshops and finally made my demo with my mentor, Charlie Adler, when I was ready.
Yeah.
And then that's sort of how that all kind of came together.
Holy cow.
And that became my day job. Thank goodness, knock on wood.
Wow.
Yes.
So what's keeping you the most busy these days in terms of voiceover? And you can name customers or you can name genres, but what kind of work is keeping you the
I'm so grateful. Right now, it's literally across the board. So I get to be the voice of Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. So I have a little promo job that I'm very, very excited about. I love being the voice for them. I get to work twice a week from my home studio that you designed for me.
Yay!
Which is great. Thank
you. It's a neat
little
studio.
George, you're amazing.
Just works.
I can't even imagine anybody else ever build it. Like, it's like this big. My old house was nice and big, and this time, for whatever reason, this house is like...
We work in whatever space you have available. We will make it work.
Call him. and then I have this Valspar spot running commercially where there's two little talking chameleons.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about paint.
Yes.
So that's really funny. And they write the spots for us, which is really great.
So that's the one where they keep writing new spots. They rotate them out.
Praise
relatively.
Jesus.
Kind of like a Geico thing where they have a lot of different spots they
run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So I feel very grateful for that. And you know what? We can, I'm sure that Rick will attest to this
you guys
as well.
Can chat about
if
that.
It weren't for improv and like, you know, my drama background, that's a huge part of why, because it was just about talking about an empty house and like white walls. And I just moved into my house at the time. So they were like, have the actors ramble on about, you know, painting and their own experiences. And I was like, well, all right.
Phoning in my real life experiences right about now.
Yeah. And then animation wise, I just got to be, I do a lot of work for Pixar and I'm still in SpongeBob. We're going into our, 17th year? I was just in a couple of, we're in our 17th year. Someone type in or tweet to me what season. I am always forgetting. Is it 11th season? 10th or 11th season? So I get to be Pearl Krabs now going into, like, I don't know, 18 years. I'm 18 years old, but I'm really 16. and then I just got to do an episode of Henry Danger for Nickelodeon. So so that's great. And
is
so
that what they call a walk-on when you do one episode of a show?
It's called a guest star.
Oh, guest star?
I do walk into the studio.
A talk on.
I guess maybe it could be a talk on. A talkie, like in the old days. So, yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, I wanted to make sure everybody knew why you were here. But when Dan couldn't be here, I wanted to change things up and have a different dynamic.
So maybe I can just pop up behind you guys occasionally anyway. Like,
I'm so glad.
Hello.
I'm so glad that Lori could do it. But thanks. Next, I wanted to, we have Rick Wasserman here in the studio, and later Lori is going to get to. I'm just going to let him loose.
Right?
Like, Lori, Rick, just done. I can just, I'm done. I just walk out of here.
Get out.
Because you guys are going to, I'm going to let you guys loose. But there is a tech question that came in by email, and I wanted to address this. This is a really geeky one.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Real geeky.
Ooh. Georgia like that. Yay.
This one came in from Richard Hercher. He says, hi, guys. I have a tech question for you. With Fraunhofer ceasing license distribution for the MP3 codec and is not open sourcing it for software developers, how do you think it is going to play out long term for the VO industry? Okay, hang on. Let me unpack this a little bit.
In my experience,
those Fraunhofers.
Fraunhofer's. Well, the MP3s are very tricky, I tell you.
Bruja!
I think you should answer that, George.
Yes, I do.
This one's for you.
I certainly will. If you have software that makes MP3s, chances are the company that makes the software, Pro Tools, for example, has to pay a license fee to be allowed to make MP3s.
I see.
It's not just free. This company, Fraunhofer, that invented MP3 encoding.
Fraunhofer! Sorry,
invented MP3 encoding 20-something years ago. They own the license on it. The thing is, they're not the only ones that have an MP3 encoding codec. There's another company called...
Schlagen.
Very sadly, they have an acronym name, and that is LAME.
Schlugi Schlagis.
I wish it was something that good. LAME. LAME
oh,
encoder.
Gosh.
LAME, which I don't know what it stands for.
Marketing thing with Ingen.
They really do.
Sorry.
So there are alternatives out there. So basically what he's asking is, because Fraunhofer does no longer wants to give people access to their MP3 encoder. I don't know what this means for the industry. I don't know what this means for software that uses it. But I think that what it means is they're going to start using competitors' technologies like this one called LAME.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using Twisted Wave, Twisted Wave uses the LAME codec to make MP3s. And it works really, really well. Same with Audacity. It also uses this LAME
codec. Or Sound Studio, if you're really old school and you're really tech challenged like me.
Yeah, which is kind of like Twisted Wave before there was Twisted Wave.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're like, just stay on that, Lori, so you don't throw equipment around the house or the booth. Because that's what I do in that. I'm like, but it ends up Hagischlagen and gets thrown across the room.
It happens.
But I don't do that anymore.
Never, never. Richard goes on here. Every source I know says, do not ever send demos or auditions as AAC MP4 audio or as WAV.
MP3.
And woe betide the AIFF users. This is some interesting ways of writing we have, Richard.
Hageflagen.
Only use MP3. I know this isn't a the sky is falling moment, but what do you see as the roadmap for removing away from this 15-year-old standard? And can I dust off that Apple lossless codec yet? Or should I start figuring out how to patch Ogg Vorbis into iTunes iPhone? Whoa, Richard. Richard loves the show, but he asked probably one of the geekiest questions we've ever tried to tackle.
I was going to say, you have to, like, that's cool and it's geeky and I have to understand it. So ungeek it.
I'm going to try to ungeek this a little bit more. I started ungeeking a little bit, but so Ogg Vorbis. Okay. So there are a lot of ways to take audio, a WAV file, and smoosh it down into a smaller size so we can send it by email.
Right.
MP3 is the most popular one. It has been for a really long time, but there are other ways of doing it. AAC is another method. There's a thing called the Apple lossless codec, which is another method. And there is what's called an open source one. Open source meaning Anybody can use it without paying a license. Anybody's allowed to access it. Mm-hmm. And it's called Ogg Vorbis. I don't know why.
Ogg Vorbis.
So to me, this
sound like German
to me,
companies.
Moving away from MP3 sending as a means to send out auditions and everything is probably as difficult as getting people to stop using ISDN.
Right.
I mean, it is completely part of the workflow of how everything is done. And getting having a seed change where everything changes overnight, it's just not going to happen. It's going to take something major to happen where MP3s
it's
just
like Congress.
Break.
So it's going to take a while for everybody to agree and actually have change happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see?
So
that I see. Once you put it in that terms, I'm like, oh, I got
now
it.
Now I get it.
Totally
now,
get
now
it.
Now we're on the same page. So MP3 is not probably going to go away because there are other ways to make MP3s, namely lame. But if they sue lame and say, hey, you're not allowed to make MP3s anymore because you're lame for copying us, then you are going to have to find another way to do this, industry. I'm talking to you, industry. And there are so many other technologies. Next time you open your software, do you still have a picture of my screen, Andrew, that you can source? Maybe I closed that. Yeah, I closed it. I don't have that open anymore. If you open any software like Twisted Wave or Audition, when you look at the list of possible file formats, mm-hmm. it's a pretty big list, right? There's a lot of other ways to save audio files. So it's just going to take somebody to say, I want to start having you send files in this new format.
Right. And then all of a sudden it'll catch on. And
yeah, it's not like we all have to buy new tools.
Thank God.
These systems are already built into the software we already use. It's just a matter of adapting to something new.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm still in Sound Studio and you're like, just press MP3. I'm like, okay, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is voice actors and anybody creative does not want to know how the sausage is being made.
Except for like Bo Weaver and like a lot of people are really super techie guys that are like so good at that.
Yeah.
And women who are really good at that. My brain is like, huh? I just talk and make funny voices and send it off.
Yeah. I mean, we just want tools that we know are going to work when we need them to work, that we can
count
on and we don't have to get into under the hood to make them work.
Correct.
You know, that's my job is to get under the hood when necessary, but basically make it so the voice actor never has to get under the hood. They just can turn on the mic, hit record, and they can count on the file that they've recorded being intact and ready to
levels
send.
Are set too, levels and everything's set, ready to go.
I mean, you know, and there are tools coming out all the time that are making that easier. I talked about it a couple weeks ago. There's a new audio interface, kind of like the Apogee One like you use, or Rick uses the UH7000 by Tascam, and there's all these technologies, but there's a new one that came out that has true automatic recording level.
Wow.
And it's not like the crappy video camera style auto level where when you get real loud, it squashes it down and then the noise floor comes up and it gets really hissy and does that garbage. No, it actually truly controls the gain for you. So
that's
you
very
just
cool.
Open the program and turn on your mic and you never have to think about setting your mic levels.
That would be good for
that
me.
That is really
I wouldn't
awesome.
Throw that across the room.
No. So far, it's $1,000 technology. It's $1,000 box that does this, made by Yellowtech, another German company.
Yellowtech,
they're very intelligent over there.
Wow, it's impressive.
It's really, really cool technology. I saw it at NAB. I covered it at NAB. When that technology becomes a little bit more widespread and becomes more accessible, then we won't have to farts with gain anymore.
That'll be the thing.
Yeah, it'll be so nice. I mean, as an engineer, my job is to set the gain. That's one of my jobs.
Yeah.
As a voice actor, your job is to act. And the second the setting of the mic gain becomes part of your, I have to do this, and then the acting has to be taken
sort of out of the moment, and you're like,
Yeah, it's really hard to be a great actor and also try to, and then turn off the, you have to have two sides of the brain and you flick a switch back and forth. My engineer brain, my acting brain, engineer brain. I'm trying to do more and more. My part in this whole thing is to do more and more so the actor has to do less of the engineering, more of the acting, but at the same time, still producing really high quality audio.
Yeah,
that's what I think that my job is. And speaking of my job, that's what I do. And if you want to get a hold of me and learn more audio production technique, learn how to get your mic sounding great, deal with technical issues, or design an entire recording studio from the ground up, I'm over at edgestudiotechnology.com. And you can jump over there and there's a lot of different ways I can help you out. So go give that a look. But we're going to take another break here, and we're going to come back with Rick and Lori together over on the guest set.
It's Dan Leonard, but I'll let it slide.
It's in my notes, but every time I look at you, I'm not a good actor. clearly not a good actor.
Clearly.
I'm not good at sustaining disbelief. But anyway, we're going to be right back with right here with Lori and Rick right after this.
Paying a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis. Are you confused about how to set up a...
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running? And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon? And the scripts seem a bit dated, too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AtlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
You're still watching VOBS?
Hey, everybody, I want to do a little spot here for one of our great sponsors, and that is VO to GoGo. And that is a product and company and coaching program by David H. Lawrence XVII. And he's got a little message for you guys here. He says, and let me turn off the popping bubble sound that I hear in my headphones. I hope that takes care of it. Sorry, guys. If you're a VO actor who also works on camera or would like to add on camera acting to your portfolio, here's a great way to master the studio and performance techniques you need to do to work on camera. And the content will take advantage of all you know about working on mic. It's called Camera Ready You, and it's been created by VO2GoGo's David H. Lawrence XVII. He's pretty well known in the VO industry, but he's also a seasoned TV and film actor, and he will share all the knowledge he's gained working on camera in this class. Working on camera can be deceptively hard, but David's put together a special report called The Top 5 Mistakes People Make on Camera and How to Fix Them. It's absolutely free. It totally, totally is free. And to get it, just text on camera, the word on camera, to 44222 on any smartphone or messaging device. Jeez, David, getting sophisticated. You probably have unlimited text messaging on your phone, but standard messaging rates apply. What will you learn? How to set up your studio, your lights, your camera, your mic, how to tape on-camera auditions, how to master business presentations, video podcasts like this one here, online instructions and lessons, marketing videos, and more. You'll learn how to shine on camera. Don't know which camera to use? Don't know which lavalier or boom mic to buy? Don't know what to do with your hands or your eyes? No worries. Camera Ready, we'll cover all of that. Become an on-camera actor as well as VO talent with Camera Ready You. Again, that free top 5 mistakes people make on camera and how to fix them report, and get that on the list on your smartphone. You can get it texted to you by texting on camera to 44222. That's all one word, on camera to 44222, and get ready for Camera Ready You. That's all one word, on camera to 44222. We'll be right back here with Lori Allen and Rick Wasserman right after this.
You're competing for work with other voice talents, and every one of them has a powerful, unique, engaging voice demo. Your voice demo needs to stand out from the crowd in an unforgettable way. Now it can. Visi Visual Voice Demos take your awesome voice demo and add a visual element, reinforcing your brand. Your demo will leave a lasting impression because it stimulates two senses instead of just one. Your voice is your livelihood. You need an effective demo to open doors of opportunity. Blow those doors down with a Visi Visual Voice Demo. Visit VisiDemos.com for more information. Your audio demo never looked so good. Take your voice demos to the next level, a visual level, with Visi Visual Voice Demos. Mention VoiceOver Body Shop and get an additional 10% off.
Oh. Hi.
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 Rick Wasserman, L'Oreal.
Hey, Lori.
I'm Dan Leonard. I just keep getting confused.
Dan, Lori.
Dan Leonard.
No, we have the same agent, and we were talking about this before.
I know.
I've seen you plenty of times at the agency. We've not spoken a word.
I don't think. Well, you know what? That sounds a little crazy. I'm sure we've read together over the years.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm fairly antisocial. This is as much as I'm ever going to talk.
You're very social here. This
just
is
here.
Crazy.
Only in this room.
Only in this room? Because there's dogs and.
And I've had a beer.
And you've had a beer. No, you have not had a beer. So tell me, so it seems like we actually have a lot in common.
Yes.
Because we're both like theater geeks. I think that's fair to say, right?
Ouch. No, yeah, right. Proudly.
Right, because I was looking at your
resume. Card-carrying, badge-wearing.
Card-carrying, like thespian, like woohoo.
Go, go, go.
Right? So tell us where you went to college.
I went to undergrad at St. Joe's, so the Jesuit school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered I was Jewish, and then I transferred to Temple. T for Temple U, University.
Hey.
And after that, I went to grad school at UMKC, University of Missouri, Kansas City.
Nice.
I got my MFA.
Right.
Where I got my MFA.
And your MFA, hair flip in the theater.
Yes, in
right,
the theater.
Which is a couple of words, the theater.
The theater.
Right, right, right. And then how did you sort of make your segue from the theater and everything like that into voiceovers? Like my experience, of course, is I thought it would be a nice day job.
Wow.
Which I'm so grateful.
That's amazing. But you were kind of like genetically built for this.
I mean,
you started.
It was like, good night, so Lori.
This is
we'll
like
see
a,
you in the morning at
this
at
is
nine,
like, a,
you know.
Like a Sammy Davis Jr. thing. Like he was on the road performing at a very young age. It's what he knew and he became this thing.
Right.
And that's what you are. You're one of these things now.
I want to be an ophthalmologist. No.
No.
So you
will not. You'll make funny voices.
No, you make crazy voices.
In a box. I was in grad school. Now, my voice changed, I think, when I was in the third grade or something.
So all the teachers
dropped.
Were like, and you were like 10. Sorry, that sounds
most
terrible.
Of,
but
yeah. It was just weird. And I think we all noticed it when we had to say Pledge of Allegiance. And I was well over an octave down.
Right.
But I didn't do anything about it. And I did a whole bunch of theater. So I did all my theater stuff. And then when I was in graduate school, we had like a weekend or a week long course with a guy from the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Jeffrey Dreisbach, terrific guy. And we kind of just wet our whistle with voiceover.
Right.
In a weekend, we made our demos on cassette. Cassettes are these small plastic things with two reels on them.
You can play them in like a Walkman or a boombox. And for you kids out there, you might want to Google that, a boombox Walkman. Okay.
Look it up.
Anyway.
On the interweb. So we made our demo. I go to New York. I get my agent. I'm doing on-camera commercials. I'm acting and stuff like that. And I talked about this last time, but let me say it again because it's really cool. I was the Zest soap guy.
Oh my gosh. You
camera.
Were, I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
That was me.
That's great.
I had to wax my chest and it was an ugly scene.
And I saw him without a shirt on, ladies. So I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's worth, you know, maybe going back and looking at your Zest commercials.
I did have a beer, okay. I said. So, So I went to New York and I was doing all that work. And I don't remember exactly what happened, but I was in my agent's, you know, conference room signing contracts for on-camera commercials, and the voiceover agent walked by the office.
And said,
Jason Marks, who is still my manager today, peeked his head in and he said, do you do voiceover? And I went, uh-uh. And he said, do we represent you? And I said, uh-huh. And he went, come here. And pulled me out and stuck me in a booth, and it's been that way ever since. And by the way, I auditioned for 6 months. And nothing, not a sausage, nothing at all. And then the day came. So I was in The Lion King at the time.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
Right, that's how we say it.
That's right.
On Broadway.
Exactly. Whenever you're near to the theater, we say Broadway.
Broadway, yes.
Exactly. And the booth engineer was out that day, and an assistant was managing the booth, a guy I adored named Stuart Knocked. Great guy. And he said, so I did this thing. He said, you have an audition. I said, great. He goes, it's a promo. I went, what sort of thing is that? And he went, it's like a commercial for a TV show. So I went and I read it and he went, you're in Lion King, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, do it like Scar. Do it like Scar. And I went, okay. And I did it. I booked it. It was my first job and it was the voice. It was a campaign voice for a new show on HBO at the time, which was called The Wire.
Yes, I love The Wire. My dear friend Michael Kostroff. It's one of the best television shows ever created.
So that's how I kind of got into it.
Right. So then that leads me to such, I think, what's a great question that a lot of people like to know and hear, and especially with the Real Reed sound right now, that's for me, trips people up when I'm coaching and stuff, and we'll get to that in a second too, is so what do you think about voice acting versus, oh, I just have a really cool voice, right? So
yes, I think both of those things can exist. Mm-hmm. But you can't coach someone to have a great voice. That's the kind of thing you have to walk in with. I think of it like modeling. Mm-hmm. Like you can stand on the street and see someone staggeringly gorgeous walk down the street. They're not doing anything. They're just born and bred that. Right. That's just what they look like. Can they walk a catwalk? Doesn't matter. Can they take a picture? Doesn't matter. They are so stunningly beautiful, it doesn't matter. But most of us are not like that. And I can't teach you how to be like that. But I can teach you skills to work with your voice and help with your read and help you audition and help you book and know what to do with tech and in your booth and all those things. So I teach for everybody else.
Right.
Not for the 0.0001% of the people who just have unbelievably gorgeous voices. It doesn't matter what they say. They can read the phone book and the book.
But let me ask you something. So doing, I think we're similar in this way in terms of promo and commercial and animation and stuff that, for me, I think that it's a great thing to be able to be a voice actor, to be a storyteller. And it seems like with your background, obviously that has propelled you into, you know, great success, knock on wood, continued,
right? Thank you. Yeah.
And also then to be able to have a successful coaching, workable, right? So tell us a little bit about that. Excuse me, I'm so sorry, bookable.
Bookable, bookable.
So then you're sort of a full, you know, a full shop there, right? A one-man stop. So people can coach with you sort of on their route to making a demo.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's what happened. For a long time, we were just coaching. Mm-hmm. We're just coaching and coaching and coaching. And then at some point with our clients, it was like, so the next thing you need to do now is go make a demo. Well, how do we do that?
No, no, no.
Bye. You know, which I felt horrible. It felt like I was just leaving people
hanging.
It felt
horrible. It felt
horrible.
I felt horrible.
It was horrible.
Gave me angina. I felt horrible.
Agita.
Right. Agita, all of it. I just felt sick inside.
So anyway, that's how it was. It was awful. So then I started thinking, well, why shouldn't we make demos?
Right.
And I got some incredible help. I got a wonderful producer and all that stuff. And now we make demos. So now I feel like I can kind of carry them through the next steps.
Right. And I do that as well. I'm sure we come. It's funny. I should come to have like a demo consultation with you, and you can come to me and we can see how that
goes. Great.
So tell me, I have some questions for you.
Oh.
So just random business things. So holler me back here. Does one need a website?
Does one need a website?
Yes.
If you're a voiceover artist, actor. Let me just ask you this first. What do you call us? Are we voice actors or voice artists? What are we? What do you call us? Because that's been on my mind for a while.
That's
for a long time, I was calling myself a voiceover performer.
Right, a voiceover.
Because I felt funny after being in Richard III to go on and say, and when I do promos, I'm acting.
Right.
I just felt awkward about it.
I'm a voice actor.
You're a voice actor, right?
I'm a voice actor.
I have come to the point now where I can say that. But it's very recent.
Right.
I've always
you feel
felt
almost
kind of
pompous.
Yeah, I felt like, there's the hair flip again. I feel like I'm a voice actor. What I'm doing in the booth is acting.
Right. I think a lot of our friends that are outside the business will be like, my friend wants to get into voiceovers and you're a voiceover person.
Right.
And then you have to, it's like, I don't have to feel pompous by saying it's a voice actor. It's just, it's sort of, let's just keep it across the board. It's a voice actor.
Listen,
so that's cool.
It's storytelling,
right?
So you could tell a story in point shoes on a stage and you could do it on TV and you could do it with acrylics on canvas. And it's just another vehicle to tell a story, this time just your voice.
Right.
So,
and you only have your voice, right?
That's what you got.
That's why you're voice
acting. So it's voice acting. But if it is voice acting, then I think we must treat it like acting. And I think you must consider things, foundations of storytelling, circumstance, partner, objective, action, obstacle. I think you have to consider these things.
Right. Which goes to then if you're an actor who has presence in the business, again, to things like having a website and having, you know, just some of those social media skills and all those acumens of things like that.
Yeah. So do you need a website? I'm not entirely sure. I have one kind of as like a parking lot on the web. So if I give somebody my card and they go to my website, they can hear stuff I've done in the past.
Right.
But I don't really know if casting directors Google me and try to find my voice, or do they just get in touch with my agent? Now, if you don't have an agent, it might be very important just to have your demos up there, to have
about
your name.
Your demos, thank you. How to contact you. I think that's very important to have a little bit of web presence.
Yes.
I always think that's important. I think in terms of being an actor, taking some simple acting classes, and I've always been a big proponent. I was in the Groundlings, so I love that. Improvising, so important, right? And you tell me why improvising is so important.
Well, I think the only way you can really survive, especially here in Los Angeles, but in the voiceover market, is by embracing your voice and your reed. Embrace them. It's your voice. It's the sound that kind of comes out of your instrument. Right? It's not like anybody else's. Don't try to sound like me. I get that a lot. Oh, I would book a lot if I sounded like you. No, you won't. I book my stuff.
Right.
You'll book your stuff because I don't sound like you. Right. So embrace how you sound, no matter how you sound, embrace it. And your read as well. That is your opinions and your sense of humor,
your
point of view, your eccentricities, your regionalisms, what makes you unique, all that. Embrace that, and that is how you stick around.
And don't you think it also makes you, first of all, it makes you look good. I always think I know for a fact it makes you look good for the client, because then they get to show up and be like, look at that, I can make her do backflips. I can make her look like she just, you know, just rode a pony. She sounds like she's 5 inches, you know, taller than she was before in the last take.
Yeah.
And also, it makes you sharp on your feet. I mean, it makes you just be able to just, can we just do 3 in a row? Do you want anything different? No, just want you to do something different.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I think it comes in handy the most for ABCs.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what they are. And my famous story about ABCs is when I was doing The Wire, so I finished the first session by the skin of my teeth, because I don't know what I'm doing really. I'm just doing Scar. You know, I don't really know what else to do. And at the end they said, okay, we need some title reads. Give us an ABC. And I went, ABC. You want an ABC.
Okay.
Now you want it. I'll give it to you now.
Okay.
I'm doing ABC. No, you don't want that. You don't want me to say ABC at all. That's not what you want. What you want me to say is the title 3 times with, you know, variation, which I completely screwed up. But I clearly know that now. But that's where improv can really come in handy. Now, I have, by the way, some ABC templates in my pocket, always.
Ooh, tell.
Okay, so listen. Like, my A take will always be kind of my gut read. If no one directed me, no one told me anything, this is what I would do. That's my A read.
Okay.
My B read might be flatter. My C read might be my sexier read or something like that. Okay. But I have a couple templates in my pocket.
What about for, like, if it was the Lori Allen Show, how would you give us a
It's all sexy
of that?
After that. I have nowhere to go after that. Sexy, sexy, sexy. Or
I'm
sexiest.
Bringing sex back. Wow, wow. Okay, so I have a question. Since I'm so technically challenged, what do you think you need in your booth? Like, how much, like, I'm like, George, I'm throwing things again. Right? So that's just not my thing. I wish I were, and then I just sort of come to, like, a nice, peaceful place of acceptance. So how tech savvy does one need to be?
Well, you were saying, like, guys like Bo Weaver have been very helpful for guys like me. He's the one who said, twisted wave. And we all went, okay. Yeah, if you say so.
Sure.
George, of course, you know, we all owe so much to, because I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And by the way, a lot of people who are not calling George don't know anything.
Right.
Listen, call George.
Call George.
Call George, because really what you're doing ultimately is you're wasting money. Don't do that.
That's actually very true.
Don't do that. Because you can go on Amazon or you can watch a YouTube clip and someone will say, well, this is the equipment you need to start your own booth.
And don't you think also that then you're sending in auditions, and now with the saturation of folks, and that's not a bad thing. It just means there are more people doing voiceovers with more accessibility to Voices123, Voices.com, agents, non-agents, union, non-union, just a plethora of more people than when I first came up, and probably you too, right?
Absolutely.
So you're competing with just this ginormous talent pool, so your audition's got to sound really good.
I think so.
Right?
I think so. I want to show them. It's kind of a preview.
Right.
This is what it's going to be like to work for me.
Right.
Listen to the voice, listen to the read, but listen to the quality I'm giving you. I'm showing you the work I put in.
Right.
I had a client at my house today, and by the way, the first time this happened, I was horribly embarrassed. So we were coaching. I get the call. We need you in the booth right now. Oh, gosh. You know, you paid for this time, and I have to get in the booth right now. And I went in, and I did it, and I came out, and they were grateful. Oh, thank you. Thank you for letting me see that. All right. Because everything we're coaching is fairly theoretical.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing it in front of you, well, now there it is. In action,
and
you get to see it happen.
Absolutely. Do you stick people in front of the mic, on mic? Or are you more of the acting sort of...
in your you know, path, your voiceover path. Yeah. If you're very, very green, never seen a microphone. What's a microphone? I've never seen one.
Right.
If you're very, very new, or you've been dabbling for a while, you're an enthusiast, a hobbyist, or you're semi-professional. I've booked a couple things. I don't have representation, and so on and so on. We take people at all levels. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So then speaking
of how tech, you're saying, yeah, how much tech do you have to know? I know just enough tech to get by. That's how I feel about it. I respect it. I know it's important. It's like tax laws. I know just enough that I need to know, and I don't want to know anything else.
Right.
That's enough. My brain's full.
Right.
You know, so I'm pretty judicious with what I know. And of course, you know, I have George.
Right.
I have George, and I have a community of people that are very, very interested in it. So that helps.
There you go. And like you have shows like this that you can always ask questions of and forums. So you can find out everything.
Come on, it's brilliant.
Here.
What a great resource.
And so I have some other great questions for you.
Yeah,
I just want to
throw
on my handwriting. I want to interject.
Yeah, on your handwriting.
Oh yeah, let George say something.
I just want to interject for a second, Lori, to say I just want to remind everybody that. Do ask your questions in the chat room. If you're watching it live, if you're not noticing the chat room right below the show, type in questions you have for Rick or for Lori tonight, and we will make sure they end up in the chat room or actually in the rundown for the show. Jack Daniels right over here.
Yeah, so we feel very lonely.
So, you know, please do send in your questions. So, Lori, back to your regularly scheduled program.
So,
ask me a question I've written for myself.
I'm going to ask Rick a question that he's written for himself. Anyway, and I have fancy glasses that make me look smart. Okay. So we've talked about, is VO a skill or an art? I think like that. Oh, one thing that's funny, I will often tell people, like, in terms of movement, like I moved off mic the other day and I was like, I've only been doing this 30 years. So, you know, but you want to move around, right? Especially for, if it's even a promo that's like tight right on the mic or whatever, if it's intense, like I just pretend sometimes, and I try to tell my coaching clients too, that's like the mic just happens to be there, right? Because we're voice actors. But on the occasion, you have to make sure you're not like sort of in the next room. You're not really, you know, going on and off mic, right?
That is the balance. Yes, of course.
Right?
You must be like if you're filming a television show. Yeah, you got to be in the frame.
Right.
I appreciate you wanting to move and feel it. But ultimately, yeah, there's some technical concerns we have to deal with. But
absolutely.
I do, like you, I move around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And all the movement I do in the booth, I'm very against what I'm doing right now. I'm conducting myself with my hand.
Right.
And I'm totally against that.
It's
now,
because
listen,
we're Jewish. We're
exactly.
Half Jewish.
Oi. So, I listen, I know a lot of people do this. I have nothing bad against them. But for people who are starting out, I try to keep them from doing this, from conducting themselves with their hands.
Right.
It's unnatural. It's not authentic. And I think it will alter your performance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but I do move my hands if it helps tell a story.
Right.
So if I'm doing something that's fairly sensitive or romantic, I'll put my hand on my heart. Why? It somehow connects me emotionally to something. It makes me feel something.
Right.
That will come across. Just like that old thing where they say, you know, if you smile, you can hear that smile on your recording, which is
true.
But you can also hear everything else. You can hear yourself grimace or clench your fists or hoist your shoulders up. You can hear all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I move around.
Yeah. I move around. You
move.
Get around. So then on an emotional level.
You'll notice we're using a mic that's way up high tonight so that, you know, you guys don't have to think about the mic so much. And
you're
able to kind of be physical and move around.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And when you have a good studio, you can do that. Let's just put it this way. When you have a large studio, you need that large space around you to be able to have the mic that high.
Absolutely.
If you've got a really small space, you don't have the luxury of that distance between you and the mic.
Right.
And that's
but
true.
Even in my studio, which for some reason in this house is like the size of like, you know, come in, it's like a tiny little box. You still put the mic up quite, Peter Brady, you still put the mic up kind of high.
Right.
So that the sound was really good.
But
so
you're
it
on,
sound like
and
it
you're
was
on
in
a
million six, dollar studio.
You're on a shotgun too. So that's another thing that's different. We used to try using a shotgun up there on that boom right there.
Did that not work?
It did not work
too
well
directional
at all.
Or
don't pretend
much
like you even know what that is.
But you bought it for a second, right? It's fairly directional.
Right. It was way too directional.
So with the longevity of a voice actor and on camera actor, before I went, I was going to ask you, how do you deal with rejection? But before I was going to ask you about that, would you tell us about your amazing experiences of being on Broadway?
Broadway, yes.
We talked about the theater, but not actually that, or maybe some of your favorite on-camera stuff, because I know that the VO folks probably still really enjoy hearing about the live-action thing.
Let me just tell you what happened.
Yes.
This is kind of fairly tragic, but has a nice ending.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in New York. And that's the weird thing. You go to New York, you get an agent, and you immediately go off and do regional theater.
Right,
so,
exactly.
And finally, I'm back. I was doing an off-Broadway play with Maria Irene Fornes, and it was amazing. Had a great experience. And I did the smartest thing I could have ever done, is I agreed to be a reader for a casting company.
Yes, learned so much.
For Jay Binder. Because now I'm sitting there, and I see both sides of the table. I learned so much, so much. So once in a while, there's an audition, and I can audition, which is great. They have an audition. They're going to do... Broadway Bound and Biloxi Blues.
Right.
Not Biloxi Blues.
There's the third trilogy. Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Yeah,
the
voiceover people can't even say it.
Voice warm up. Brighton Beach Memoirs.
They're going to do them in rep on Broadway. Linda Lavin's playing the mom. I'm a young Jewish guy, born to do it, ready to do it. Got to do it. So I audition. I make it through the first cut, second, third cut. I come up in costume. I'm ready. It's going to be Jay Binder, a reader, and Neil Simon in the room. I walk in. I say 2-3 words. Neil Simon holds up his hand. He goes, I don't care for him. Okay.
Ooh, dang it.
Okay. What are you going to do? And I was just dumbfounded, like, oh, he didn't care for me. What does that mean? Like, no Hanukkah card? I don't know what to make of this. He didn't care for me. And I left, and the casting guy calls me, and he goes, I'm sorry. What can I tell you? It's his show. No, you don't have to say anything. It's whatever. What are you going to do? He goes, I get you an audition for Lion King. No, what am I? I can't. What, please? No.
I met you. So then you went to
Were
that
you in
show.
It?
No,
I just... Oh, okay, because for a second. So I get an audition for that, and I book that. Changes my life. Yeah. This is how it changed it. I'm a cater waiter, because we're all cater waiters, right? I'm a cater waiter.
I sprayed perfume on people.
Oh, did you?
If they didn't want it, I'm like, spray it on there! And I make them smell like Chanel No. 5, whether they wanted to or not. I'm like, then I just smell. I'm like, sorry. I sprayed in one lady's face, and she was like, phew. And I was like, it's bad.
So, yeah. So I find out that I booked Lion King, and I'm getting dressed in my polyester tux to go cater waitering, and I'm thinking, I'm going to go. I'm still going to go.
Right.
I'm going to go do my cater waitering, but I'm just in a fog. I'm just out of it. So I'm like a bar back, and I'm kind of very slowly opening champagne bottles, and the bartender's like, are you okay? And I went, I'm in Lion King.
Aww.
And they all thought I was insane. But I remember that night, I took off my tux, and I put it back in my closet, because you never know.
Right.
It doesn't mean your life has changed, but it did. It did change. Everything changed after that.
Right.
Because
I think, right, this business ebbs and flows. And one of the things I feel like I have to remind myself, and I know we all do in this room, and everyone out there that's watching and listening, this business goes up and down and ebbs and flows, right? So if you're not working on being like a happy person and having a happy and joyful and productive and a life that is giving to other people, animals, whatever is your thing, you know, whether it's helping out the homeless and taking care of older people, whatever it is, you have to stay active and have a full, full life. You're participating in your own life, right? Because there is going to be rejection. There's going to be downtimes that really can get you really down. And you're like, you have to remember that there are other things you can do to supplement your income. There's other ways to be of
Absolutely.
Service. There's other ways to, right? So how do you deal with
up high? High five, amen. Right? This is great. Yes.
So how are there other ways that you would encourage yourself, me, anybody out there watching, listening to deal with those times that are, I don't even want to call them rejection because it's not rejection, but those times when they're the ebbs and flows and that are down and you're like, oh my gosh.
Can I answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Jesus, would you please?
I think it's important to establish an aesthetic between your personal life and your career. I think that's important. There's a lot of people, especially in the arts, who say acting is my life and singing is my life and voiceover is my life. And I don't think it should be. I think it should be part of your life and I think it should be important in your life, but you should have your life and then you should have your career. And I think it's important to have that, to establish that difference in your life so you can be very satisfied with your family and your friends and your loved one and your beliefs and those things that you hold. And then you have your career. So if one falters, not everything falls down. It's not a big, you know, house of cards that comes down.
And you have something to draw on for
Absolutely.
Your storytelling, for your voice acting,
That's right. And that's exactly right. This happened to me, I remember, very, very long ago in an acting class. We were doing scenes from The Crucible. You're going to love this. We're doing scenes from The Crucible, and I say something. I'm Reverend Hale, the Jew. I come out, and I say a couple lines, and the director stops me and says, where were you just before this? And I went, stage left. And they went, no. Where was, I went, oh, no. I get it. Where was Hale before this? And it was like a door opened to a hallway that had 1,000 other doors, and I was on fire. And after class, I said, well, what can I do? I mean, should I take another acting class? And what do I do next? And she was great. She said, yeah, take another acting class, but don't just take acting classes. Because all you'll be prepared to do, if that's what you do, is you're only going to be prepared to tell the story of an actor. You'll only be able to play an actor. You have to learn science and math and politics and religion. You have to know all those things. So like you say, so you have fodder.
Right.
Yeah, you have fuel for your stories. And of course, that's true. Right. Go travel. Go make friends. Go get your heart broken. Go fall in love. You got to do all those things.
Yep.
Go do those things now. Well, after the...
After the break, actually.
After the break.
So we're going to go talk to Rick some more and have a beverage. And we'll see you guys back in just a minute.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
And good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
Here we are inside the bagel.
Sounds a little roomy.
I'm just ad-libbing. The ad-lib light was on, you know? All right.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at the new edgestudio.com.
And we're back.
Hey. Here we are back. It's I have to do a commercial, though.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, George is doing a commercial.
I got to do a commercial.
Scale plus 10, I say.
Yeah, it's very, very important.
Right.
This is the chance. This is the time we have on the show. We get to talk about our buddy Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials and all of the great stuff he sells over there, like his flashing, color-changing, super-duper dynamic, amazing VoiceOver recording sign, which we have on the wall of our studio. You guys have seen it before. It's a really cool product. And actually, there it is. It's in the shot.
Ta-da!
That's the VoiceOver recording sign. You can change the color, the speed of the flashing, and the controller is RF wireless. So you can have that sign outside your door and the controller will control it. So this is a way to tell your family in a fun, flashy way to show up when you're recording. Before I go, I just want to, Harlan did say he'd love to encourage the viewers to visit voiceoveressentials.com and sign up for the subscription list with their email. It's safe and secure, and they'll get exclusive discounts and offers and free downloads throughout the year. We'll be announcing an unprecedented deal this week. That deal is worth $60. It's a secret, but if you are planning on any summertime travel, you won't want to miss this one. So I really want to thank Harlan for supporting our show. If you want to tell Harlan that you came from us, just go to the bottom of VOBS.tv, scroll to the very bottom. There's a picture of Harlan at his famous porta-booth, voiceover booth. Click on that. It'll take you to his website. That way he'll know that you came from us. And it's our way of letting him know that he was discovered on VOBS. Thanks for watching. We'll be right back with our wrap-up with Lori and Rick.
Are we at minus 4 dB? We're at minus 4 dB on VOBS.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
And good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
So I'm very excited to ask you about your process of coaching, but
yes.
I happen to know that you are a puppeteer.
Yeah.
Right? A professional stage, what do you call it when you do stage
combatant?
Fighting. Combatant. Yeah. I did a show called Reefer Madness where we had a stage fighter
sure.
who came, and that's why I have a bad neck and whatever.
Oh,
not
dear.
Because of Rick Sordley, who I love.
Super.
Do you know Rick Sordley?
He's a god.
He's amazing.
He's a god.
Oh, my God. So you know him. Okay, yeah. So wonderful. You're a makeup artist. You're a fire eater. You're a magician.
Yes.
Are you Jesus too?
I mean,
what the heck?
A bit.
So, is there any like quick magic trick that you want to just teach everybody? Just because, come on, you got to show everybody like one quick thing, right? Come on, right?
Yeah. Hold on.
Right? No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. Okay, I'll do it.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Okay.
Everybody can follow along and do this too.
Okay.
Hold your hands out like this.
Okay.
Nothing in your hands.
Nothing in my hands.
I talk for a living. You don't have to do it too, George. Just relax. Okay. He's holding out his
hands. He has soft hands. He uses hand lotion, I think, or something. Okay, sorry.
So I talk all day doing voiceover, so I'm not going to talk during this.
Okay.
Here we go.
gosh. Up.
Whoa.
Whoa! Man, I'm glad I asked you that.
Yeah.
I just hope that your roof of your mouth is okay. Oh my gosh. No wonder. Oh my God. Yay! That's awesome. So talk about having a lot of experience under your belt that you can bring to your,
yeah,
to your life when
and
you're recording.
Makes, and it's fun and it's interesting and there is that. You know, we were talking, you had mentioned it before about rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Acting, performing arts, there's a lot of rejection in it, but maybe not as much as voiceover. Because if you're lucky enough to have 10, 12 auditions a day, chances are you're not going to book them.
All right, but what if you don't? Right? Let's be real, right?
Yeah.
For me, for women in voiceover, for folks
very
out
tough,
there.
Very tough, right? For women. Unnecessarily tough for women, and I feel bad. But what do you do? How do you deal with rejection? That's a real question, because I don't know. The fact is, I'd like to say that over time you build a callus and it gets easier, but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It's hard for me. I'm trying to do my best work, and I want to do well for me and for my family, but certainly for the product. I want to tell the richest story. And it's hard not to take it personally, because this is not a ledger I'm turning
exactly
in at the end of the
right.
day.
To not take it personally, to join a workout group. And again, I always go back to leading a full life.
Yeah.
And the minute that you're coaching more or being of service to somebody else, like somehow you kind of get back into your body and your groove, and you don't think of somebody outside of yourself to validate you. And then you're like, oh, that's right. I can only bring, like you said earlier, I can only bring me and my voice.
That's it.
Legitimately
that's
and otherwise to whatever it is. So tell us more, speak on that note about your coaching. And so like, let's say I was signing up for your bookable. How does it
obviously
go?
The first thing we do is we give you kind of an intake questionnaire. It's like a mm-hmm. hospital, but we find out where you are and what you're looking to do, what your goals are. Cause everyone's got different goals and I don't want to assume anything. Then we can have a couple conversations. The first session we have is always discounted. But basically, I'm going to lay down, especially if you have zero background, that is no performing arts, no acting background. Can you do voiceover? Yeah, you can. But you're going to need to know some things. You're going to need to learn some things.
And so what do you teach those folks?
So the first thing I tell them is I tell them the difference between your voice and your read. We make sure that's very clear. The next thing we talk about is this is something that I have come up with, but I think it's probably fairly universal, that I like to think of voiceover being done in three phases. And the first phase I call work. It's outside the booth.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you run your process. It's when you ask yourselves all your questions. If this was theater, it would be rehearsal. It'd be dramaturgy, right? It'd be that time. You do all your work, make all of your notes, do all the work outside of the booth so that in phase two, you can go in the booth and play. We do the work, so we have the luxury of just playing. I'm not thinking in there. I'm not doing any more work.
Somehow,
I'm not trying to remember it. I'm just doing it. That's phase two. And then phase three, which is just as important as two and one, is listening back, reviewing, editing, and calibrating. Because you might be in that booth and think to yourself, well, my action here is to seduce. But when you come out and you listen to the playback, it sounds like you're leching or something like, ooh, something's off. I need to calibrate my voice to my ear. And I think that's a very important step, especially if you're not used to hearing yourself.
Right.
Yeah, you got to learn to do that.
That's great. And so then moving forward, then?
Then we learn. Mm-hmm. Then we go phase by phase. First phase, I take it from the moment you are handed a piece of copy or script. What do you do?
Right.
And I say any artist must have a process. It doesn't have to be mine,
right,
but you got to have one. A series of scaffolded questions that will ensure that you read richly, vividly, specifically, and you-centric, right, gives you the best story that you can tell.
Right. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So if folks want to coach with you and or get their demo done, where can we find you?
BookableVO.com.
That's wonderful.
BookableVO.com.
And also, so for the on-camera side, for your live-action side, since I did get to see you shirtless, thank goodness. You're doing a play, right? So you've been working out a lot. So what did tell us about?
I am, yeah. So this summer, and this is great too. This is another thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I have decided to, like you, I was performing, and then I thought, I know, I'll make some money on the side doing a little voiceover. And that just kind of turned around.
Right.
And I hadn't been on stage in years and years, and I hadn't done any television shows in years and years because I'm the voice of a network and some other things, and it gets busy.
Right.
So I decided I'm just going to have to do it. I just got to find a way. I don't want to look back in, 20, 30 years and go, I saw the inside of a booth, like a tortoise.
Right.
That thing lives 200 years, but it's staring at a brick wall,
right,
And
right.
I thought, that's not the way to live. Is that a life lived? I don't think so.
Right.
So I said, I'm going to do a summer of theater. So I go to this wonderful theater called Creed Repertory Theater in Creed, Colorado.
Cool.
It's one of the few true repertory theaters left in the country.
You should take a voiceover bus, like the VOBUS.
Take the VOBUS.
That would
be a heck of a bus, right?
You can be like, Colorado's awesome.
They do 4 or 5 shows in rep, same cast. It's very demanding. Last summer, I did one show. That's all I had time for.
Right.
I did Private Lives.
Oh, how fun.
It was great. And then this summer, I'm doing 2 shows. I'm doing Arsenic and Old Lace, and I've never done. And
my mom is like, I've done that play like 47 times.
Everyone's done it. I've never done it. And I'm doing Tally's Folly, Lanford Wilson, Pulitzer Prize winning.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
It's 2 people on stage for 97 minutes, nonstop, in the round. And what's interesting, well, at least for me, is no one's going to care about this, but, you know, take a nap for a little bit. I have been in dramas and comedies and musicals. But this is a romance.
Aww.
And I've never been in one before. So it's new territory for me. And I love that. So I'm very, very excited
about
it.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for filling us in. And that's great. So we're going to take a little field trip, everybody, I guess, to Colorado this summer.
Come on. Big Partridge Family bus.
George.
I'm on board.
You're on board? Okay. So I want to hear. So my whole family is obsessed with Walking Dead. And so, you know, I get a lot of groupies for things like SpongeBob, but now I'm a groupie for, I want to hear, do I have time to call my sister and see if he will do a live message really quick?
Yeah, everybody just stand by.
While you're doing that, I'm going to find some questions for Rick that have come.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes,
you get your sister on the phone,
okay,
and I'm going to multitask here.
Awesome. Perfect.
Grab some questions. One of the first questions that came up tonight came in from, where'd it go? Oh, from the Low Bass Man. That's the guy's name. Question. I have a fairly strong Southern dialect.
Mm.
Should I work to completely neutralize it or embrace it?
Absolutely not embrace it. Like I said before, that is you. You have this Southern dialect. Now, the way I like to think about it is any kind of variable that I might adjust, pitch, volume, intensity, speed, all that is kind of in my head on sliders, you know, like dials and sliders in my head. And one of them would be dialect. So it would behoove you to be able to dial it back and dial it up when you want to. But there is no need to try to eliminate it. I would not take an accent elimination course. I taught a class for not Groundlings, but Second City has a voiceover class.
Yeah.
Kif Vandenhuvel is a wonderful teacher and had me in to guest once. And there was a woman that had a very thick Middle Eastern accent. And she asked the same question.
Right.
Should I get rid of this? I went, oh my goodness, no. Because you will be the go-to woman with that dialect and you'll book everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because you can take direction.
And
you understand
you
your voice.
And do it well.
And you'll do it and it's authentic and it's you.
Right.
What a wonderful thing to be able to bring to any voiceover. Like, it's always going to be consistent. You always sound like you.
And you're working in an international marketplace.
Absolutely.
Right. And one of the things I like to say, too, for folks, especially if they're wanting to do animation, I suppose even for your commercial or promo read, is like, you know, if you, like I grew up in, I have a ton of relatives in the South, right? So there's always going to be a Southern thing that comes out for me or whatever.
Of course.
So like pick and choose all the dialects, the celebrities, the roommate you had in college, like all those cast of characters, right? All the voices in your head, and keep those sort of at your fingertips. You know, keep them in the voices in your head, keep them sort of close by so that they're accessible at all times. And so, you know, being from the South, you got a lot of folks within that little Southern pie.
Yeah.
You know,
I was going to say keep them in your Rolodex, but that makes me sound very old.
Right. No, my mom had a Rolodex. It was like this.
In your Palm Pilot. There you go. I fixed it. No
in
problem.
In your Blackberry.
In your Blackberry.
I got a Blackberry.
Oh, my pager just went off.
This one comes in from one of our fans and just a friend of the show, Jay Horace Black.
He's been here in the studio with us.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Jay Horace Black, by the way, Jay.
Did
sounds,
you guys work together?
Yeah, yeah. Jay, when I first met him, he sounds like Obama. I mean, just out of the gate, he's Obama. He opened his mouth, he sounds like Obama, which is a wonderful thing to hear.
Yes, it is.
And I said, you got to make a demo. You got to make a demo just with your Obama voice.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not cast as Obama.
Well, it's in our consciousness.
Yes, it's a familiar sound. There was a time in voiceover where it was very trendy just to use a very recognizable celebrity sound. But the problem with that is people just started listening, going, oh, I know who that is, and not listening to the commercial or the product. So now it feels like they're trying to find someone whose voice is fairly familiar, but you can't land it.
Right.
But that makes you listen. It makes you listen harder.
Yeah.
And that's where I think he'll hit pay dirt.
Right.
Oh,
speaking of just a voice that sort of stays in your head, and I do think that that kind of, whether it's a trend or a certain voice, like that's in our consciousness. Like whether you like that or not, that's just sort of there. So marketing, like go with your skills and your strengths, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Do you, I always like to talk about vocal hygiene because I don't have like vocal cords of steel. I warm up, not every day. I wish I remembered to, but I go in stretches where I'm pretty good about it. Especially if I have an animation thing, I'll be really good about it. Or sometimes my promo gig is very low. They like this really low. And I'm always like, ooh, I can do that. And especially as I get older, I'm like, ooh, that's a cool low part of my voice. What about you in terms of warming up, warming down, your vocal hygiene?
Yeah. Here's my warm-up story. Mm-hmm. I was in that television show 24.
Mm-hmm.
With Kiefer Sutherland, yep. We have nothing in common except voiceover, right?
Right, of course.
So during my time, I was the bad guy in season 2. Mm-hmm. And during my time on the show, we would have lunch and talk about voiceover.
Right.
And he said, we were talking about warming up. And he said, let me tell you how I warm up. I warm up based on the story I need to tell. I went,
interesting.
Explain.
Yes.
He said,
ooh,
so I had an audition and they wanted a certain sound. So I sat in my car and I rolled my windows up and I smoked an entire cigarette. Tobacco. Smoked a whole cigarette, and then I proceeded to scream at the top of my lungs, just as hard as he could. And then he opened the door, big plume of smoke came out, and he sounded like this. He sounded like Gary Busey or Nick Nolte, right? Had all his texture, but that's what he wanted because that's what the story required. Now, I don't
know. For most voice talent, he would probably say, just do like me, 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 me.
Right.
And do your voice.
Yeah.
Do your voice. No.
He was extreme, of course.
Down the scale
now,
to get
listen,
to that lower register.
I wouldn't
yes.
recommend people do that, but I love the notion. Of warming up for the desired story.
That's actually true.
I love it.
Because a lot of the animation stuff that I have is in the morning.
Yeah.
And I had this really dingy character that sounded a lot like Goldie Hawn for a show I did called Huggle Monsters. And I'd wake up and I'd be like, hey, George, what's up? Can you come over later today to fix it? That's how my voice really is.
Right.
But I'd wake up and I'd be like, la, 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 you know, kind of get into that
you have to find
register.
You have to find
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
so
I
say, because the trend right now, and just like any performing mm-hmm. art, voiceover has trends. Of course, they want that very, very authentic sound.
Right.
It used to be called conversational. It ain't that now.
It's authentic.
It's authentic. It's real.
And I'll tell you how tell you how I get to my authentic. If you tell you how tell us.
I'll
how
let you know. I got a buzzword.
All right. Ooh, tell us.
Geico. That's all I say. That's all I say. I go Geico, and because I sound like an announcer. When I wake up, I sound like
yeah,
I'm selling
me
a car.
Too, yeah.
So. I have to endeavor in this market to sound like a regular guy if I want to book something other
right.
than an announcer sound.
So that's a great reason to go for somebody to go to you for coaching, right? Because we can all get sort of out of our voiceover voices.
Yes.
You know what works for me?
Tell me.
All right, I'm going to tell you. What works for me is to think that I'm just telling somebody some information. So like when all else fails, like there was a girl, Brandy, in the
booth
at GPN.
Sure.
And I'd be like, oh, crap. And I would be like, I'm just going to talk how I talk. So how we're talking right now.
Yeah, that's how you
instead
talk.
Of being like on sale now at Target, right? I'd be like on sale now at Target.
Right.
And then and also for me, who am I talking to? So like my sister who we're about to call right now, because she's obsessed with The Walking Dead. She's gonna be like, oh my gosh. I always make sure like if it's a healthcare thing, I'll be thinking of you know friends and family, making sure their health is you know something.
Absolutely.
Of concern. I have like three usually go-to people, and then I just am thinking about them. I look at the words and I'm thinking. What do I want to say to them? And I just come up off the page and I share information with them. And that's how I stay in my real,
that's
authentic
wonderful.
Read.
We do the same
don't
thing.
Don't say that in your coaching or I'll kick your ass.
But I do say it.
That's what is my coaching.
No, I say it a little better. What I say is it is about, okay, I know who I am.
Right.
And I tell clients, you must have a partner. You must have
right.
a partner.
We need to hear your dialogue. With
exactly.
Somebody.
Now, yeah. Do you have to have a partner for every commercial you do? I say yes, you do.
Yes.
But in my life, I've only used the same 5 to 8 people.
Yeah, me too. I have
Why?
Like 3.
That's
usually.
Right, because they're familiar. When I talk, my ear will stand guard and go, that doesn't sound like the way you sound when
right.
you talk to your wife. Try again. And it keeps me honest.
Right.
So it has to be someone I know.
So you have an immediate relationship.
Immediate.
And the casting director, if they're going through a million things, they're like, oh, he sounds like he's, who is he talking to?
That's right.
All right, speaking of that, hold
okay.
on. So I hope she'll pick up.
Okay, everybody just relax.
So just so you guys know, my sister is a huge Walking Dead fan. I'm sorry, I'm FaceTiming her. Ooh, this is crazy. My sister's name is Lisa. She's a famous DJ in Nashville.
Hey.
And I'm FaceTiming her.
And she knows because she's watching the show live, so she knows.
Oh, I love her.
Right, exactly. Oh, you're hot, Zip It. Okay.
I am.
So it's going to be, oh my gosh. Lisa, are you in the dark?
Yes, we're watching TV and it's.
Well, you're live. You're live. So I just wanted you to say hi to Rick and everybody
hi.
Here
hi.
At the OBS. There's
hey.
A friend, George.
Hey.
So you can't see my beautiful sister, Lisa Manning, who's a famous DJ in Nashville. Hi, Lise. So
hi,
I just, everyone. Can you tell us a little bit? You started Walker Soccer Con. So we're on the air. I just wanted you to know that. So I watch you on the air all the time. Right?
Well, I didn't start Walker Soccer Con. James and Eric started Walker Soccer
right.
Con. I just happened to be around and help them when they did the whole ground up, uh-huh. you know,
Right.
Started with a Kickstarter campaign.
We'll be right back.
Right. So she's a voice. You're a voiceover gal too. So I just wanted you to hear the voice behind the promos that you watch so frequently. Ready? Hold on. Her name is Lisa.
Tonight on The Walking Dead, guest starring Lisa, only on AMC.
See?
So
wait, Lisa awesome. And Charlie, her boyfriend there is her fiance. Excuse me, Charlie is there.
Hey, Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
There you go. All right. Thanks for being such a good sport. I love you. And thanks for being on the show tonight. You're awesome.
Hey, sis. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we grew up in a voiceover family, I told you.
Thanks,
bye.
Sis.
All right. I'll call you later.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye-bye. Well, that was right. Charming.
That was hilarious.
That was wonderful.
Oh, my
right?
gosh. Rick, how many, how many times did you have to say the letters AMC before you got it right the first time?
Sometimes I still don't get them right. You know, because for a long time I was doing all the soaps for ABC.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty close.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Tonight
sure.
on ABC.
I knew the
yeah, alphabet just goes right through me. But yeah, get a little take and get used to, sure.
Let's get back to Jay Harris's question.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Sorry,
off.
Jay.
Tangent. Festival. Where do you recommend a person go? I think you mentioned a few improv places, but where would you recommend someone to go for some improv training?
Well, you've had improv trainings mm-hmm. outside of a school environment, right?
Correct.
All right, you better speak to that.
You know what I'm really loving these days for folks, myself, and I'm thinking about going back to Iowa West, which I think is great Improv Olympic, and they're terrific. The Groundlings is always great, very character-driven.
Iowa West, is that the Santa Monica one?
Iowa West, I don't know if they have another location, but they're in Hollywood.
Okay, Hollywood, gotcha.
And then I love Iowa West. There's Acme, there's the Groundlings. Of course, there's always fabulous UCB, which is Upright Citizens Brigade. And they're like too smart for me. I feel like, huh? But they're super, 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 super smart.
And they all have a different approach, right? That's the reason that they exist.
Right.
But it's all about playing and learning certain kind of fundamental rules.
And then the Nerdist, what's his name? Chris, speaking of Walking
Hardwick.
Dead.
Yeah.
Talking
with Chris Hardwick.
So I believe that he's got a space now because he always did the Nerdist. That was the name of his podcast,
right? Yeah.
So I believe that the Nerdist now has become very popular to take improv classes.
That guy's amazing.
Right.
That guy's amazing.
I think would be a very cool place to try some improv classes. And even if you're outside the Los Angeles area, just find a community college, find any place that has an improv, kind of start your own improv, look it up on how to do it, and do like an improv workout group with each other, because it's all about just saying yes and not denying. And if anybody who's interested in looking up improv, like that alone just keeps you sharp and sure, you got it. I'll try to sound purple and like I just grew three heads. You got it for that take two. You know, so improv is just that important. I think
it is.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
This might dovetail into that. This is from one of our regulars, Devox, and he says, what are some good ways to get unstuck when you draw a blank in the way of a character or approach, especially when you're in the booth?
My answer to that is you start with you. So like if I'm hired to play Richard III, I am Rick Richard III. Mm-hmm. I am the vehicle for that character.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with you. And then you read, when you're reading, a very thoughtful read of the script will tell you personality traits. So they're very enthusiastic. They're bubbly. They're flirty. And then I try to access that facet in myself.
Mm-hmm.
There's my flirty side. Without worrying about putting out a... Don't do that right away.
Right.
Find it within yourself now. Another thing that helps me break out of any difficulty is if they give you a photo or drawing,
mm-hmm.
and it goes a long way with me.
Of course.
So if I see that my character is an ogre and it's got a big jaw, I'll make my jaw big. That helps. That informs performance quite a bit.
And mm-hmm. also, I couldn't agree more. I'm like check to that. Also, sometimes for me, doing the exact opposite, just if I'm like really, really stuck, just making some totally weird choice. And then, sometimes you make a choice just to make a choice. Like, that character is suddenly going to have a lisp. You know,
right.
It's like that character has to have a lisp for a reason.
Absolutely.
It's because she has really bad braces and nobody took them off and she's still in college, you know.
Yeah.
And that sounds like Pearl Crab. Sorry. But but something like that. So to have do something that's totally the opposite.
Yeah. I like that idea. And and something else I try too is if I have a worry, like, geez, if I try to do it like that, I'm going to sound like Kermit the Frog. I say, go sound like Kermit the Frog. Go all the way there.
Right.
So you can get rid of that worry. Get rid of the worry.
Right.
Sound like it.
All right.
You'll probably find out that you don't sound like Kermit the Frog. And the voice print that you have is probably just right.
Right. In fact, you know, one of the things that helps me a great deal is Marilyn Wisner's voice casting voice app that she has. Hmm. And I have it on my phone. Since I'll show you, She's just phenomenal. And her voice app encourages you, talks about the five most common reason commercials or just sort of in general. And then she has this great feature. So that's what it looks like. I don't know if we can get a close up of that later.
It's just, there it goes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, look at that.
And so then she has this great thing called add-on emotional triggers. And so I find this really, really helpful, right? So it'll say, she just is so great. I love Mary Lynn. I love you, Mary Lynn.
This is about me. I mean,
whatever. And she'll add on, she'll have things to add on. For example, mischievous, ironic, sweet, vindictive, happy, grief, bewildered, terror, joy, ambitious, giggly, pride, flirty, cautious, timid, annoyed, secretive, revenge, uptight. So this is perfect for like, this is
triggering
for games, for animation, for promo, for commercial, even for it's like a mom spot. With this authentic read, you're like, oh my God, I know I can't sound like a real person. I have to sound like a person that just picked their nose and walked across the street. I can't sound like a voiceover person. Or if you're doing animation, right? So you can add like eager or like indignant or what. I mean, you can add indignant to like a mom spot.
For sure.
Suddenly she's like, oh God, I'm this proud mom. Or you can have a, you know, an animation read and be like adoring. You could be a prince and, or a princess and suddenly be like, oh, I love him. And just add a little bit of like, ooh. So these adjectives alone have helped me. I can't stress this enough. I bring my phone into the booth.
That's great.
So I don't miss a call from Rick Wasserman or George, but also to have Mary Lynn's app for these. She calls them suggested emotion/add-on triggers,
great.
And it's really helpful.
Here's kind of a tip and trick that I think is a really good idea. Now, you're going to get direction.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll say something, could you make it a little faster? Can you make it a little slower? But what I recommend people do is, rather than just simply mechanically make your read faster or slower, mm-hmm. because the pitfall there is it will sound like you've mechanically sped yourself up
right.
or slowed yourself
right.
down. It's not telling any story. So I recommend people give themselves a storytelling reason to speed up or slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you're about to say is the most important thing you're going to say to this person today. So take your time. Make sure it's very clear. And that will slow you down
right.
for a reason.
Right.
For the same reason, like they're about to leave. They're about to get on a plane. You don't have.
And so
you got to say it now.
Right now.
So
will
now
you marry
there's
me?
A.
Blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Exactly. So now it's fueled with something as opposed to just make it faster. Right?
Right.
Better than a technical note, to take a technical note and make it a storytelling note.
Again, voice acting. And it helps keep, you know, I think a lot of the times we're in our booth these days, it certainly wasn't like this when I came up in the VO world, but we're in our booths a lot by ourselves. So all the more reason to be talking to someone. You were always in dialogue with someone, even if it's tonight at 9.
That's right.
L'Oreal. You're still in dialogue with someone. It's so tricky, but that's
absolutely.
That's the reality.
I do this stuff all the time. Like
yeah.
if I'm introducing a product, in a commercial,
right.
in my booth, I actually introduce, I pretend it's in my hand, introducing the brand new Big Mac. I pretend it's there,
right.
like I'm offering it to someone.
Right.
It's slightly psychotic, but I think that's right. I think you have to find a little bit of psychosis in the booth.
Yes.
That's the name of my book.
Right. Slightly psychotic in the booth
that's
without
it.
Pants.
Hi, without
the only,
pants.
The only
no,
last,
pants optional.
Pants optional.
The only last two questions are really fan questions.
Oh.
Trey Mosley wants to hear Rick say Into the Badlands next on AMC.
It sounds just like Walking Dead, but it doesn't. It's very, very different. All right, ready? Into the Badlands, only on AMC. Very different
yes.
than Walking Dead.
It is kind of different.
Wait
it's
until you hear
like,
the Fear the Walking Dead voice. Entirely, whole different ballpark.
And then Catherine asks, our producer, Catherine. She
Hi,
says
Catherine.
She wants Lori to say something, do a Hallmark
oh.
sound or Hallmark read.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of something really good like Candace Cameron Bure is back in Murder, She Wrote. Only tonight at 9. Only tonight at 9. Well, when you're doing a lot of promos, there's like tonight at 9, tomorrow at 9, next at 9, always at 9, next month at 9, next year at 9, 2020 at 9. Only on Hallmark movies and mysteries.
9. Right.
9. 9.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Thank you. There you go.
Hey.
Those are the last two questions.
Good
you
ones,
guys
too.
Are actually... you're allowed to stop talking.
Oh, okay,
if
great.
You like. If you like.
I don't want to.
If you like. No. No, it's been fantastic having you guys here.
Thank you, George. This has been great.
If I don't get the hook, no one will ever leave
yeah,
because
no,
you're
won't.
Having too
we
much
won't.
Fun,
That's
man.
Exactly right. We'll just keep talking.
No, it's fantastic.
But Lori, thank you. And I'm glad after all this time to have finally like met you.
For real.
And
no,
said
I
words
know.
To you
yes,
and looked
exactly.
at you in the eye and it's great. So
and
this has
great.
Been lovely. Thank you.
And now let's just stay here.
I'm just hanging.
I'm so. How is this baby doing?
I just need a beer.
You okay? What are Dan's doggies' names again?
Oh, Ari,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is Tinky.
That's right. I held Tinky when I was doing a.
Yeah, Tinky must be outside or in the house.
Ari and Tinky tonight.
They've been really good tonight.
Yes.
We need to open the door for our
We're going to open the door now. Let this place breathe, and I'm going to wrap up the show so we can get some oxygen.
Okay.
So, before we let them go, I'm going to say thank you again to Rick and Lori. You guys were wonderful. It was so fun to have a different flavor in the studio and a new perspective, and it's just been a blast having you guys. Thank you. I just want to say that next week we've got Sarah Jane Sherman here in the studio. She was recently head casting director for Disney, and we'll hear where she's casting now. So it's really cool having on casting people, because that's a perspective that's not you're going to find too often. That's kind of cool inside stuff for voice actors. May 29th, we're going to be dark for Memorial Day. We're going to take a day off. Yes, happy about that. On June 5th, we've got J.J. Juergens, who is a promo voice actor, who we happen to see down in Atlanta at VO Atlanta. And on June 12th, we're actually having, speak of David H. Lawrence, we're having David H. Lawrence the 17th here in the studio. So we're looking forward to that. Donors of the week, we have a few as always. You guys that donate all the time, we really appreciate it. Some of you even subscribe, so it automatically sends a little bit of money every month. We really appreciate it. Andrew Kaufman is one of our regular donors. Sarah Borges is another regular donor. Eric Aragoni, he just donates every week. Every episode, he sends us money. He's nuts, but we really love him. Antland Productions also donating money to the show. Other donations coming in from Brian Roush. Thank you. And Graham Spicer. Hey, Graham. And also a few more here at the bottom. Jack DeGolia. Jack does our show notes every week for us, and he still donates money to the show. Thank you, Jack. Joseph Harrison. And last but not least, Christy Burns. So those are some of the donors that we've been receiving. We really appreciate that. It really is an extra little helper to keep the show on the air and keep me going, to keep this studio working and working out the bugs and the glitches. It's a never-ending pursuit to get this system, this studio, everything to work smoothly. Anybody who watched the show tonight who got to see it live, you got to see what can go wrong during the show. And it's always interesting, slightly stressful, but we always have a lot of fun. And that's just the way it is on a show like this, where everything has been cobbled together by moi, and we put together a TV show. It's a lot of fun. We get to play TV. We have VOBS stuff you can buy. Go over to VOBS.tv and click on the big red button if you want logo wear. Our opening tonight, I think it was the same one we were in last week, wasn't it? Was it Jeff Bergonian on the opener? Who was it, Andrew? Do you remember? It was a female? He's going to look it up. I want to give credit where credit's due. It won't show you the name of the person in the title. I wasn't listening to the opener, so I missed it. That's okay. When the name comes up, just shout it out. If you want to find out what's going on at Edge Studio, my employers, go to @EdgeStudio on Twitter. That's really the best place to find out the latest things going on in the Edge Studio training universe. Go tune in. Yeah, Jack?
Jody.
Oh, it was Jody. Thank you. We had Jody on the voiceover tonight for the opening of the show. What else do I have to say? Podcast version. Most of you are listening. A lot of you are listening on the podcast version. But if you'd like to listen to the show instead of watching it, because it is a long show, you can subscribe on podcast on Stitcher, iTunes. Basically, if you have an app that lets you listen to podcasts, just type in VOBS. You should be able to find us. If you can't, let us know. And if you want to be here in the studio live and have snacks, pet dogs, you know, be part of the fun here and sweat, you can just email the guys at VOBS.tv.
I just lost 3 pounds.
Yes, we are all losing weight together just by sitting here.
It's a good thing we wore deodorant.
The VOBS, the guys at VOBS.tv to be in the audience, just type subject audience. So thanks again to our sponsors, Vizzy Video Demos, Harlan Hogan, VO Extra, Edge Studio, Source Elements, VO2GoGo and the Rehearsal App, and Antland's Killer Demos for helping us get this show on the air every week. And I want to thank Dan and Marcy for letting us use their fantastic facility, their house and their studio, to make the show happen every week. It's really great to have such a cool, well, not cool, but neat space. Not so cool tonight.
That's the silverware, too.
Yes, Yeah, exactly. And we've had Jack Daniel here in studio. Thanks, Jack. Thank you, buddy. He's put together our show notes, or he's helped us with the questions. We really appreciate it. And Andrew Bushwitz for switching and dealing with George's ever-changing production system that every week he has to relearn. Sorry, Andrew.
Wah, wah.
He drove from Vegas to make sure he got here for the show tonight.
Yay!
Yeah.
Super, that deserves a round of applause and some other things that we can't say. What?
Oh, dear.
Jack DeGoli on the show. Jack DeGoli on the show notes, as I said, and Lee Penny for just being Lee Penny. Oh, and Catherine Curden for getting our guests.
Yeah.
I almost forgot.
Catherine. Sorry, Catherine. We love you, Catherine.
Anyway. That's been VoiceOver Body Shop, episode 77. It's been a lot of fun. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. This is George Whittam for VoiceOver Body Shop, or VO. Everybody,
BS!
Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Before time began,
Woo!
Woo! Dot TV.
Wow.
Or else.